The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is on the other side of the glass. We keep him there he engineers and produces our show, does a great job. Fine young man, a millennial, and has a great future ahead of him. Here we are, second day of November 2017, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Got our worldwide live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Got all of our podcasts and the complete show archive available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the topic today on the showdown to get things rolling, is there room in the Republican Party among conservatives for a moderate Republican in the party of Donald Trump? So if you'd like to weigh in on that, give you a little advance notice there, 790-2040 for your calls and comments. The monthly showdown, we used to do it on the first Wednesday. Now we've moved to the Thursday for the foreseeable future, the first Thursday. This is the program where left meets right, right meets left. Seated appropriately to my left, David Morales, Mr. Morales, creator of the popular blog site The Three Sonorans, which was down, it seemed like, for a couple of weeks. What, were you hacked or what happened?
Yeah, someone took over ownership of my site.
And what in the world? How could they do that?
I don't know, but I just wiped everything
clean.
The
Russians.
I must have been. Huh? You had to wipe it all clean?
Wipe it clean. And luckily,
that's,
I saved the old
scary
stuff.
And you had security, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe not that good.
Well, I have more security now. Oh, so.
Okay. David has a master's degree from the University of California, Berkeley, in mathematics. He loves numbers. He teaches college math at Pima Community College. Isn't it weird how we all have these different skills? Math was my least favorite, worst subject. To this day, I'm happy when I balance my checkbook. But anyway, I have other talents. David's sparring mate is one of the conservative columnists. There's basically two, maybe Jonathan Hoffman, and my friend seated to my right, Joseph Morgan. Joseph also writes for WesternFreePress.com. He hosts a weekly talk show now in its second month, Joseph? Uh-huh. Two full months. Pretty much under your belt. You're having fun, right?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
With the show called Common Sense. That's KVOI right here Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2. And Joseph also has quite a bit of education. He has an advanced degree, a master in history from the University of Arizona. And before we get on with our showdown, some very serious news about former Tucson City Councilman Steve Leal. This was brought to my attention on Facebook. And David, you're a very good friend of Councilman Leal. He is in the hospital.
Yeah, I guess he had a heart attack last night.
And, I'm so sorry.
So sending our prayers and thoughts his way.
Yeah, that's very too bad. And we do send all of our prayers out. Joseph, is there room in the Republican Party for those that who are not on board 100% with Donald Trump? And of course, what got me thinking about this was Senator Flake's announcement, mm-hmm. which seems like was a month ago, but it was like last week. He seemed to indicate that if you're not on board 100% with President Trump, it's hard for you as a Republican to get any traction these days. What are your thoughts?
Classic straw man argument that Jeff Flake was constructing there. I'll answer it this way. First of all, I think Jeff Flake, if you look at his voting record throughout his career, has predominantly been a conservative in terms of policy. But I think it's hilarious that we are in an age in which Donald Trump is being called conservative. His policies are very conservative, but Donald Trump, the man, is a very moderate person. And yeah, especially you look at some of his social issues, social issues during the campaign. I'm just astounded that people would call Donald Trump a conservative in any measure of that term. He is definitely a moderate person when it comes to if you look at social value issues versus like fiscal policy. Fiscal policy, he would be considered a rock solid conservative. Some of the policy agenda items that he's put forth, and proof that there's plenty of room for so-called moderates in Trump's party is that Donald Trump was more than willing to play the political game with Mitch McConnell. He supported Luther Strange in the Alabama election against Judge Roy Moore. Now, some people, like myself, saw that as a political sleight of hand on his part because, you know, Steve Bannon, who's definitely pro-Trump, was part of his cabinet. He said at the rally Monday night, Judge Roy Moore's rally, he said a vote for Judge Moore is a vote for Trump. So they didn't have a problem with it. They saw the political game. And I certainly think that Judge Roy Moore is on board the Trump's Make America Great Again agenda bandwagon. And Mitch McConnell has said, I am. The problem that I have with Jeff Flake and his statements is that I think he made a calculated political decision, believing the hype that Donald Trump is widely unpopular. And there's a difference in terms of political popularity and likability. Donald Trump is widely unlikable. And count me in that crowd. I do not like his behavior. I do not like a lot of the stuff he tweets and different things of that nature. But as far as popularity, in terms of his policies and his agenda, I think that that base is growing. And I think that proof of that is that pro-Trump agenda candidates, or just decidedly pro-Trump candidates, have not lost yet. And they continue to win. And I think Jeff Flake made a calculated decision thinking that he would find traction maybe amongst independents / moderates, Democrats in the state of Arizona, and it didn't work. It actually backfired, and it helped Ward more.
Let's bring David Morales into the conversation. David, what do you think?
Well, I think what Donald Trump has done is he's opened the can of worms so that, you know, the... You know, we're to the point where he's considered a moderate, you know, from the left point of view. I mean, how far more right can you go? Where, you know, like Roy Moore. I mean, this is a guy who's a creationist, who's like, you know, most Republicans are climate change deniers, don't believe in science, and all this stuff. And you know, it's like, you know, how much, you know, Kelly, you know, Chemtrails Ward running for Senate for Flake's seat, and she had the. You know, she was ahead in the polls, had people like Laura Ingraham and Steve Bannon and people coming to support her. I'm like, this is like bringing out the worst of the party, in my opinion. Now, you know, I don't like Trump either, but, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that a state as conservative as Arizona, the state that has, you know, ethnic studies bans and has, you know, SB 1070 and all these anti-immigration policies, has the two senators who are leading the attack on Trump. You know, you have John McCain, you have, you know, Jeff Flake. I mean, just kind of, it says a lot that that's how far to the right the party has gone, that, you know, they've lost total any connection with the majority of the, you know, the American voters, as we saw in the last election where they lost by 3 million votes.
Joseph, as you were speaking, you were saying that Donald Trump is really not a conservative. So I was thinking, well, then are conservatives like you willing to look the other way in effect and say, okay, we'll put up with a guy we dislike if we can get the type of policy that we believe in forward?
Absolutely. And like I said, you look at his campaign. You can and this is generally what has traditionally been considered a moderate. A moderate is somebody who is maybe fiscally conservative but socially liberal. Mm-hmm. And so you branch that divide and you have your typical moderate. That was Trump. I mean, he ran that campaign. I mean,
he's not socially liberal at all.
Yeah, oh yes, he is. I mean, he said what he
Muslim
said.
Muslim ban.
He said what he said about transgender bathrooms during the whole transgender bathroom debate. He waved an LGBT flag during the campaign on a stage at an event. No Republican candidate has ever done anything like that. My point is
just on the closet.
No, it doesn't matter. My point is if for people to call him a far right wing conservative, that's Mike Pence. Mike Pence is certainly somebody on the far right, if you're going to go like a true
So Mike Pence would fit more in that description.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that was a strategic move by Trump to win the evangelical vote in particular by putting Mike Pence on the ticket as his vice president.
So do you think Mike Pence would have instituted a Muslim ban wanting to build a wall? Or, you know, that's more extreme than Mike Pence even.
Okay, I mean, so there is no Muslim ban. There never was a Muslim ban. That's a talking point, and it's a lie. There's a travel ban on certain countries that pose security pose security risks, but there is no Muslim ban.
There's a ban on people who have been vetted very carefully by the State Department and who have visas, and they are not allowed to come here. They come from mostly majority Muslim
countries. Does anybody
have
a right to come to the United States?
Why ban those and not other
countries?
Does
anybody have a right to come to the United States?
I say why not?
No, nobody has a right to come to the
Why
United States.
Says
because
who?
Nobody has a right to come anywhere. You don't have
says
a right who? To go to Mexico. You don't have a right to go to Russia.
You have a right to
you
go anywhere
go to,
in the world.
You don't have a right to go to the Bahamas.
All right, let's see if we can work Lauren in before we take our first break. The question pertaining to Republicans and science. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, sir. I'll try to make it brief. Mr. Morales, in the words of Ronald Reagan, well, there you go again. Now, look. I think I heard a blanket statement. Most Republicans don't believe in science. Did you say that?
If they have a problem with scientific fact, yes, they do. Like climate change, evolution.
I don't know where you're getting your fact from.
Like evolution
really
and climate change.
Evolution is not a fact, it's a theory.
Now, let me be clear. Conservatives can easily agree with science-based science, you know, I'm being redundant, and creationism.
There's a huge contradiction.
Not a conflict.
6,000 years old Earth? I mean, are you serious?
You're correct, Lauren. You're correct.
There's fossils. No, there's fossils that are like millions of years old, and you're saying that, you know, the Earth is 6,000 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's anti-science. It's
all
ignorant,
right.
Really.
We'll take the break right here, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. It's the Monthly Showdown. Joseph Morgan is here, and David Morales. We will be right back. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Mike Varney will be our guest. Mr. Varney heads up the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. The Friday Roundtable features Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the monthly showdown, 790-2040. David Morales and Joseph Morgan are with us in studio. Green Things presenting this portion of the Buckmaster Show. David, you do a little gardening, don't you?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to plant my winter garden pretty soon.
Well, I think you should definitely stop by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. You know where the Brandy Fenton Park is.
Yeah, it's right west of Alvernon. Yeah,
so they're just west of that. And Joseph, do you know anything about roses?
Yeah. I did a whole bunch of pruning for years at my church in their rose garden.
Well, I think you would enjoy a visit also. Okay. Over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road. David, what we're seeing with this, that if you're not on board with Trump, you're not really in the in crowd when it comes to Republicans. At least that's the way many people feel. Does this bother you?
Well, I think it really shows the character of the Republicans, I think, where especially this last election, because I know I have some family members and friends that are, you know, very Christian and
very right wing. You have some family members.
Yeah,
right-wing.
I do. And
right wing.
You know, but
which may surprise some people.
What surprised me was that the religion aspect to them is what made them vote for Trump. And it was weird to me because I would think that, you know, Trump is about as the poster child for not Christian. And, you know, but their hatred for Hillary was so great. And even to this day, whenever people, you know, bring up something about Trump, they still go back to Hillary, like as if Hillary was president. And, you know, it's an inability for Republicans to just reflect on themselves and say, why do I support Trump? You know, why? How can I? Like, how can I die and go, you know, before the pearly gates and look at God and say, you know, I defended Trump because of this reason? You know, to me, it seems
so ethically and morally, you find it very difficult.
I think it's really pushing Republicans further and further to the right because they don't have a stance. They don't stand up. And some of them are, and they, you know, like flake, and they have to, like, you know, get out of the race and stuff. But I think Republicans are going to be in for a huge shock in the next election. I think they're going so far, and, you know, his approval ratings are way low. But, you know, he has this way with the media and stuff to attack people and everything. But, you know, he already lost by 3 million. He'll probably lose by 6 million next time.
And why is he so appealing, Joseph Morgan, to the Christian community?
Oh, it's a simple enemy of my enemies is my friend type thing. Because they saw in him an ally with regards to just traditional constitutional aspects with regards to the assault from the Barack Obama administration on anybody who was a part of the so-called religious right or anything like that.
Do you have an example?
Yeah, you have the bakers who wouldn't bake a gay wedding cake.
So that's an assault on the whole Christian
community? Absolutely. Oh, wow. It's an assault. And then you have more, the florists, the photographers. We have a right of freedom of association.
Did you know that Kennedy?
You have a right of freedom of association, and you can associate with whomever you want to, and nobody can make you do whatever you want to. And you then have a right of freedom of conscience, and nobody can also violate that as well. But judges, leftist judges, and the Obama administration in particular with the transgender bathroom issue and everything else, was flushing it down people's throats. You are going to take it. You are going to accept it. We don't have a problem from a conservative political perspective saying, hey, listen, you can do whatever you want to, but that's your life. That's the privacy of your home. But when you say, I must accept that as normal, I must accept that and participate you with you, that's where you are crossing the lines. And they don't want to hear that. And Trump said, you know what, I agree with you, and we're not going to be doing that anymore.
And that resonated.
Of course that resonated, because they saw, again, a friend, an ally, a political ally in the sea, and then they joined.
Now, well, David, you speak.
I think you're right. I mean, Trump is, you know, Kennedy once forced, black people to be able to eat next to white people in restaurants. And he forced white people to have to go to the bathroom with black people and interracial marriage. And, you know, Johnson was part of this too. And I mean, it was this huge social engineering thing to, like, you know, allow black people to, you know, integrate with white people and get married and to use the same bathrooms and stuff. And I mean, you know, you're right. It's horrible that these presidents are forcing their morals, their, you know, equality morals upon us and trying to treat everyone equally and have everyone have equal access to it. Just because someone has some draconian religious beliefs about someone that, like, you know, that's stupid. Like, this is a country where we're all American, right? So we shouldn't mm-hmm. be separating people like this because, oh, you can't, you know, my business is not going to cater to you or help you out because, you know, should restaurants be allowed to not serve black people?
I believe this is my conservative political yes. philosophy, which would probably track more with libertarians. I believe you should be able to keep whoever you don't want to in your private business from going anywhere near your business.
Would that include a restaurant, Joseph?
Oh, absolutely. And then if you have a moral, if you really morally believe, I'm not a racist. So if I found out there was a restaurant who was, say, catering only to white people, I wouldn't go to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. And if we all had
but
our
you would
own,
defend their right to keep
absolutely,
black people.
Absolutely, they have a right.
That's
to
racism.
That's not racism.
Yes, it is.
No, that's standing true to conservative principles of a person's privacy right to believe and live out however they want to. Now, when
still
it comes
racist.
To, excuse me, when they come to, yeah, but I'm defending their right to be a racist.
Well, that's right.
That doesn't make me a racist. You know what makes me not racist is I would never go to that restaurant. And
but
I would
you
encourage
would support
all, I would encourage all of my friends not to go either. See, you feel that you have the right to use government to beat down whatever you disagree with. And I'm sorry, you don't have the
well,
right.
You guys,
and government has no right to do any such thing.
You guys use government to beat down other countries.
Wait a second. I wanted to say this. With regards to the JFK school thing, mm-hmm. that's you conflating two issues as well. Public schools and public entities where all of us are taxpayers and all of us are contributing, you cannot make those kind of decisions because it's not a private enterprise. It's not your private home. You don't have to let me into your house if you don't want to for any reason. You can say, I don't like the way you look, Joe. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way you smell. I don't like anything about you. And I don't have a right then to get government to come down and find a way to make D.A. Morales let me come and sit on your couch.
Right. Now David's
but
turn.
A public university, you know, shouldn't they be allowed to have, you know, transgender bathrooms?
If
it's public.
But now you're getting into a debate and you talk about non-science. Okay. Mm. There is only two sexes. You want to talk about science and Christians rejecting science. The leftists, there is no documented case of an actual hermaphrodite. It does not exist.
People,
no, there is no hermaphrodite.
As someone who went to school, grad school in genetics, there's people
I don't really
with XX, Y, and Z.
Yeah, but there are no hermaphrodites.
Okay, guys. I do want to go to the point where we may be expecting a decision, Joseph, from Martha McSally to challenge Kelly Ward. That would be a very interesting primary, but do you think, one, it's going to happen, and two, if it does happen, how do you think it's going to go?
Well, I like Martha. I think she would be unwise to enter the race. I think Kelly Ward has a huge head of steam now behind her. Senator Rand Paul, who is a huge fan amongst the conservative base of Republicans across the country.
Would you advise Martha right now not to get in?
Yeah, I would tell her to stay out of it and just wait until a McCain seat opens up, which, you know, sadly probably won't be that long. So.
And as far as Leah Marquez Peterson, who is thinking about if McSally gets into it, on mm-hmm. the Senate side, she may get into it then.
For McSally's
seat.
I don't know much about Ms. Peterson. I met her once. I wish her the best. So I can't really comment on that. I think from her perspective, it would be wise to wait, obviously, until Martha's out of there, because Martha's got a pretty good stronghold on that seat.
I think if McSally ran, she would win. I think someone like Kelly Ward is just as scary as Trump, or even worse. You know, the University of Arizona is one of the top, I think the top science school in the nation. You know,
one of the top.
I think it's ranked number one. And the entire college of science is ranked number one. Yep. And you know,
yeah,
usually
that's
have,
true.
Usually
that
have Dr. True. Joaquin Reese on here and stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah. He's
and
terrific.
So it's, to me, it's like kind of an insult to the city of Tucson and this southern Arizona to have such anti-science rhetoric just to continue to spread, because we have no excuse for it, because we're the best in science. And, you know, and I think people like Kelly Ward are scary. And I think McSally is decent. And I think she would defeat Kyrsten Sinema. I think Kyrsten Sinema would destroy Kelly Ward in debates. But then again, you know, Republicans might not like her social values. But, you know, I think McSally will run, and I think she will probably win the Republican primary.
Okay. Two different opinions. Joseph, quick last word.
Well, I think Sinema's going to lose no matter who the Republican candidate is, because okay. She's a leftist. She's not a moderate at all. So.
All right, Joseph, we will look for your program at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And what will your topic be, or is that to be decided?
No. I wanted to get into it last week, and now I've got even more stuff. It's going to all be about Russia and Robert Mueller in particular.
Oh, okay. Joseph Morgan, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you very
and
much.
And David Morales, always a pleasure. We'll look for your work at Three Sonorans, which is back up,
it's
right?
Back up. Yep.
Back up with new security measures, hopefully, in place, so it will not be hacked again. We'll keep our fingers crossed. 12:30 exactly on the Buckmaster Show. Very interesting interview is coming up next about snake venom. Some new research on that right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Good morning to Jeff Herndon. He is the owner of Enhance Openings in the Marana area, 3950 West Costco Drive. So it's windows, doors, and more. What's the more part?
Well, we do replacement skylights with technology in the glass, it's heat reflective glass. We also do garage doors, entry doors, steel security doors.
Right.
We cover all the openings that would come into your home.
So check it out. You can go to enhanceopenings.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the program presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. The downtown Silver City hosts a wide variety of great galleries, gift shops, historic buildings, some great restaurants, and very quaint homes. Plenty of attractions, plenty to do, great places to stay. The full listing of both at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, giving hope that his treatment may work in humans, Dr. Vance Nielsen of the University of Arizona College of Medicine here in Tucson has published results showing his carbon monoxide iron-based therapy can inhibit snake venom's effects for up to an hour in animals. Let's have Dr. Nielsen join us now. He's on the live line. Dr. Nielsen, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Mr. Buckmaster?
Doing very well, and thank you for asking. Tell me why this is important, this delaying for up to an hour the effect of the snake venom.
Well, yes, and actually we don't know if it can go beyond an hour, because that's as long as our experiment had lasted. The importance of such an advance in the field is that if one can block the effects of snake venom on, in this particular case, we were looking at coagulation, it gives you time to take a snake bite victim from wherever they've been bothered by the snake to whatever hospital facility they can get to, get anti-venom treatment, and hopefully have minimal damage done to them prior to getting any more definitive therapy there.
Tell me about your research that you have been doing on animals.
Well, basically, what we were doing, I took the venom of our western diamondback, particularly iconic snake, and we either exposed it to carbon monoxide via something called carbon monoxide releasing molecules, or just nothing else, just the vehicle that those molecules would be in. And then we injected it into animals and watched the changes in coagulation over time. And in animals injected with venom that had not been exposed to carbon monoxide, there was the usual degrading of coagulation that you would see if you were to be bitten yourself, as measured by a variety of coagulation function monitors that we have in the laboratory. But those that had their venom exposed to carbon monoxide had almost nothing happen to their coagulation in that period of time.
Could you take us through what happens after a snake, a rattlesnake strike on a human? What is the timeline, the chronology, and what happens, please?
Well, basically, if it's to back up, there's no such thing as a standardized snake bite. If you get bit on a finger with a small bite versus a more heavy bite deep into a muscle like in the leg or the arm, things can happen very differently. The amount of venom that's injected may be almost nothing. They're so-called dry bites about a quarter of the time, where the snake may be startled and bite you and not actually inject something. And the remainder of the time, there's various degrees of venom that's injected into the person's tissues. But let's just, for discussion purposes, talk about, say, a bite into a muscle, like by your ankle or on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
So the venom is injected below the skin into the muscle and in the tissues there. It immediately sets up a locally destructive process. There's swelling, there's pain, and then it sort of forms what I would call sort of a venom depot. And the release of the venom into the circulation, into your bloodstream, is quite variable. There was a case of that one triathlete who was bit in Colorado about a month ago, who was bitten within 20 minutes, was dead. Well, that was more than likely because the venom was very rapidly released into his bloodstream. But I would say majority of bites, there's enough swelling that there's just a gradual release over time. The typical period of time that someone gets bitten until someone gets to the hospital and taken care of, pretty much in this part of the country because of the remoteness of things, is about 4 hours, sometimes less. Mm-hmm. And in that period of time, there's ongoing destruction to the tissues where you're bitten. There's ongoing destruction to your platelets and plasma proteins that you need to have for good coagulation. And then venom enzymes also can bother the heart, bother the kidneys, and cause you to go into shock and die as well. So there's a, if you can protect some portion or hopefully all of that period of time by locally injecting carbon monoxide into that area where that venom depot is, that would be of major importance.
And that's where your research eventually, hopefully, will lead to something. So first responders responders would have perhaps an EpiPen auto-injector stocked on ambulances and in first aid kits that could really make a huge difference until someone gets to a hospital.
That's certainly one form of the invention that we're thinking would be very handy to have. And not just people that are first responders that happen to be in the ambulance. Just as you have automatic defibrillators in auditoriums or major venues, I would envision even if you had a ranger station at like at Coronado National Park, mm-hmm. where they would have some there as well. Potentially, it could be something that either over-the-counter or with prescription you might be able to take with you if you know you're going to be going to an area where you would be at risk for being bitten.
Right.
And you could self-administer it as you would with an EpiPen.
That's great. Let's hope that that works out. Because snake venom is hemotoxic, I guess, destructive to the ability of blood to clot. And that's where the big problem is, correct, Doctor?
It's one of the big problems. Broadly speaking, and it's not all-inclusive, venom can be hemotoxic, and it could also be neurotoxic, where it can cause you almost as if you were being given a nerve agent for chemical warfare to stop breathing. Mm. The Mojave rattlesnake is rather notorious for that, and some snakes have both, such as the cobra or the taipan in Australia, where they'll cause you not to breathe very well and also destroy your coagulation system. So snakes are a mixed bag. They can have one or both of them.
Can you give some quick advice, please, to some of our listeners who think, well, oh, it won't happen to me, but it could happen to them. They could be out in the garden and something could happen. What do you advise, Dr. Nielsen, please?
Well, especially when the times that you're in greatest trouble, of course, is when you don't know that the snake is there, and that would be in the twilight hours. And so if in the days when it's not particularly hot, in other words, when it's summertime here in the Southwest, snakes tend to not be moving around much at all, but it's in the spring and it's in the fall that they'll go out as the day starts to grow long and it starts to get a little bit darker outside, and they'll seek areas to stay warm to continue hunting, and that would be sidewalks, driveways, in your garden and so forth. And so places where they might ordinarily not venture, they might just to keep warm and keep hunting. And that's where you might encounter them while you're walking your dog or riding your horse. Or as you mentioned, if you were working in a garden or in your backyard, you go ahead and you put an unprotected hand under a shrub without looking carefully, especially as the sun's going down. And then there might be something there waiting for you would not anticipate.
What should you do? Get to the hospital as quick as possible?
Under all circumstances, if you're bit by a snake, absolutely don't waste any time. Call for help. Get help. I wouldn't necessarily recommend at all that you jump in the car and drive yourself.
911, then you would call.
Absolutely. Get a first responder to where you are because you don't want to have a car accident from loss of consciousness or something else on the way there. But under no circumstances, and this is what will happen, is if there's someone who's intoxicated or doing something else like that, that will result in them getting bit, they may wait for hours or even longer. And those are the folks that come in and lose arms and legs and feet.
Wow. One quick question I've always wondered about. When a bee stings someone, the bee dies. What happens to the snake after they expel their venom?
Generally, not much of anything. They have venom glands in their head, and it's a constantly renewing secretion that goes through their fangs. And so it's basically just something to incapacitate their prey. They'll bite a rodent or something else like that. The rodent may go a little ways, and then it may not last. And then, in fact, many snakes will use the strategy of striking and then just quietly following behind their prey until it finally falls over, and then they go ahead and eat it.
Dr. Vance Nielsen, thank you very much, sir.
I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Vance Nielsen is professor and vice chairman for research in the University of Arizona Department of Anesthesiology at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Tucson. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, live streaming, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Don Luce is with us, attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk, attorneys at law. Luce, Brown attorneys have three offices, two in Phoenix, and just a lovely office on River Road here in Tucson. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, now in its second printing, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. So both of these books are not written for attorneys. They are written for people like me who really don't have much of a grasp of the law, like Don Luce. Good to see you, Don.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be back.
So much to talk about this time around. All this stuff about Bisbee, the city of Bisbee, they had this ban on plastic bags. They thought they were kind of doing the right thing, the council there, but the state had different ideas for this.
That's right. So going back all the way to 2012, the city of Bisbee, which is a charter city, passed an ordinance which bans plastic bags. And the rationale, as I understand it, is they were tired of seeing the litter on the side of the road, all these plastic bags around. So they banned plastic bags, and they also imposed a fee on paper bags so that if you want to buy a paper bag, it will cost no less than 5 cents if you're in Bisbee.
Hmm.
Okay, so that worked well for several years, according to the people who know about these things. In 2016, the Arizona legislature passed a law that prohibits cities and other localities from regulating the use of plastic bags.
Hmm.
So 4 years after Bisbee passed this ordinance, the Arizona State Legislature said, no, we don't want cities regulating the use of plastic bags because it would inhibit economic freedom throughout the state. And depending on which locality you go shopping in, you may or may not be able to get a plastic bag and that sort of thing.
So much for local control.
Well, yes. Now, things don't get better for Bisbee because in March of 2017, in other words, the earlier part of this year, Governor Ducey signed a Senate bill, SB 1487, that allows any lawmaker to essentially ask the Attorney General to investigate whether a city has passed an ordinance that violates state law. So if a lawmaker makes a referral to the Attorney General is required to investigate to determine if the city law in question violates the state law in question. In August of this year, the Arizona Supreme Court, in fact, in the Tucson Guns case, which we've talked about on air before, upheld the 2016 law. And then after that, Senator Warren Peterson, who's a Republican out of Gilbert, made a referral to the Attorney General requesting that the Bisbee ordinance be investigated because it appeared to the senator that the ordinance violated the 2016 law, which prohibits localities from regulating the use of plastic bags.
So if any city law is not compatible now with a state law, that really is going to raise some red flags.
Pretty much. There are a couple of narrow exceptions for elections and real estate matters, but generally speaking, if a city ordinance is contrary to a state law on the same subject, the state law will control, and the Attorney General, if a referral is made, will be under legislative mandate to investigate the issue. Now, in the case of Bisbee, what happened was about 2 weeks ago, the Attorney General concluded that, in fact, the Bisbee law does conflict with the state law that was enacted in 2016, and essentially gave Bisbee 30 days to repeal its ordinance. Now, what's at stake here is a lot of money.
There you go.
Because if Bisbee were to not repeal its ordinance within the 30-day period, then the Attorney General would instruct the treasurer of the state of Arizona to stop the revenue-sharing funds that go to the city of Bisbee, which by various estimates range from $1.2 to $2 million a year. And that, according to the mayor of Bisbee, represents about 25% of their annual budget.
Yeah, it's a small town, so that's big money.
The mayor said is if we were to lose the revenue-sharing funds, it would force the city of Bisbee into bankruptcy over plastic bags. Now, that's sort of his take on it. He's also said various things that he considers the state to be arrogant in its approach to this and also hypocritical because the state constantly complains about the federal government interfering in its affairs.
Yes.
And here the state of Arizona is interfering in the city of Bisbee's affairs.
And the city of Tucson also found out that big money would be at stake as well. So that moved them to go the other direction.
It did. The city of Tucson repealed its ordinance, which the attorney general had determined violated the state law. So the city of Bisbee, bottom line, they're scheduled on November 7th to repeal the ban and replace it with a voluntary ordinance. They're also going to repeal the 5 cent per paper bag part of it. And I think they're going to include a provision in this repeal that says if the state law is subsequently found to be unconstitutional, then we're going to reinstate our plastic bag ban.
Governor Ducey is saying that he may have to tap into what's called the rainy day fund. This is money that's put aside for emergencies to keep health care coverage for over 20,000 Arizona kids.
Right. So this is called the Kids Care Program. It's been around for a while. It's been off and on, depending on the state of the economy in Arizona. But essentially, under Arizona Kids Care, any family that is under 2 times the federal poverty level, which basically is about $41,000 for a family of three, is eligible for these health insurance benefits. The thought is that the family makes too much to qualify for Medicaid, which in Arizona, as I think your listeners know, is the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, but yet not wealthy enough to really provide for themselves adequately when it comes to health insurance. So the state, in response, enacted this Kids Care program, which, interestingly, up until September 30th, was 100% funded by the federal government under a legislation known as the Children's Health Insurance Program. But that termed out at the end of the fiscal year. So as of September 30th, there have been no more federal funds through the CHIP program. The federal funding has continued, however, under another federal program, but that is scheduled to essentially term out as well in mid-December. So what the governor is saying is we don't have very much time left when we're going to be getting federal funds to fund kids care. And if we don't have federal funds to do it, we may have to look for some other source of funding. And so he's, as you mentioned, looking at the rainy day fund, which is actually the Arizona Budget Stabilization Fund that has about $460 million in it. Mm-hmm. And he's looking to see if the Arizona legislature will give its approval to move some of those monies into the kids care program so that it doesn't essentially have to stop enrolling participants and shut down like it did in 2010 during the economic recession.
What would that cost? How much money would be needed out of the rainy day fund?
Okay, so the kids care program in just the month of September received $6 million in federal funding. Governor Ducey projects that from October through December, because of increased enrollment, it's going to need about $20 million. Some of that will come probably from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Some of it will probably have to come from the state of Arizona. And then after December, if Congress doesn't act, the future of the program is in question for sure.
All right. Don Luce, the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, that's in its second printing, and the other book is Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And this is a good time of year. The end of the year, we start thinking about taxes and everything else, to start thinking about if you haven't done estate planning, maybe give it some thought.
Well, you know, and estate planning isn't just about saving taxes. It concerns things as mundane as giving a power of attorney to your spouse so that if you become incapacitated, someone will be authorized to act on your behalf with regard to financial matters and so forth.
All right. Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk, Attorneys at Law. Don, always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Bill.
Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. The two of them team up together to put on a very highly entertaining and content-rich hour here on KVOI. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9, and then our Friday Focus interview with Mike Varney, the head of the Tucson Chamber. We'll be wishing you a great afternoon and evening. Take it away, Michael Medved, coming up next.